Good to see everyone here tonight. Just a reminder that there is a, I'll remind this again later, but there is a short business meeting tonight after service. So when we close service, we'll give 5 minutes. Anybody want to say goodbye to anybody or whatever, but we have a short business meeting that we need to go through a couple of things tonight. And then after that, then I'm going to need to see just for about 5 minutes, I'm going to need to see the pastors and the deacons right after that for just 5 minutes. I promise I'm not going to hold you long, but it is what it is. Where did that come from? Okay. All right. Yeah, and it's not my fault. I don't think I'm working Phil too hard wherever he's at. Yeah, for his neck to be, because I know somebody's thinking, what's Jimmy making him do now? So, but it is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It is always good to be. I will tell you this, those who are in the house of the Lord on a regular basis always seem to have a more intimate relationship with Jesus. They just do. Most of the time they do. Because it's just something about being in the house of the Lord. Maybe it's singing tonight that you needed. Maybe it's fellowship tonight that you needed. Maybe you needed to see somebody tonight. Maybe it's just a hug or a handshake. Maybe it's just one line in a song or one line in a verse. Maybe it's something somebody prayed about or you just got to share a prayer request and you felt like people were really going to pray about it. God uses the smallest things to work in our lives. So I'm thankful for that tonight. So tonight I want to be in John chapter 9. I want to share with you as we go to John chapter 9. John chapter 9 is just about one thing, about a blind man. There's a lot more in it, but it's about the miracle of a blind man seeing. But what happens is we see the prior chapters here that Jesus is in discussion with some Pharisees. It's getting heated. Jesus says, I am the light. And they begin to say that he has no authorization to say that. Matter of fact, I'll read just one verse out of chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid. And it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then in chapter 8, he says this in verse 43. Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of liars. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Who among you can convict me of a sin? If I tell the truth, why don't you believe me? The one who is from God listens to God's words. This is why you don't listen, because you are not from God. And this conversation is heated. And then it goes on in verse 57. The Jews replied, you aren't 50 years old yet, and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, I assure you, before Abraham was, I am. At that, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden and went out of the temple complex. I'm telling you, it was heated to the point people were ready to kill Jesus. That's how, I'm just a side point. Jealousy will take you down a... If you don't take care of jealousy in your life, you can become violent, and you may not have had a violent bone in your body. But jealousy has a tendency to make you do things that you never said you would ever do. They are very jealous of Jesus. Why? Because if Jesus is all the things he said is true, it strips them of all what they think they have. It really didn't, but it would strip them of what they think they have. So now we're going to be in chapter 9. Here's a piece where now he's leaving the complex, but Jesus is on mission. I want to remind you that the world is dark. There is a blindness in the world. There are those who are physically blind who just cannot see because their eyes do not allow them to see. But there's also a physical, not besides a physical blindness, there is a spiritual blindness. There are more people who are spiritually blind than are physically blind in the world. And there is one thing that is common in both of those who are physically blind and spiritually blind. It is that light is missing. The light is missing. Chapter 9 in John, he says this. He says that as he was passing by, Jesus was passing. He just left that big conversation and they're wanting to start. He's out, so he's left the complex, the temple. He's left it all. He's walking away. As he was passing by, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples questioned him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "This came about so that God's work might be displayed in him." It doesn't mean that they were never sinning. Don't get that wrong. It wasn't that they didn't sin. It's that they didn't sin to make their son blind. But people are all sinners. But what we see here is a big piece. One thing I wanted to share with you here. Jesus came out of this big, nasty argument and mess. And let me just remind you, Jesus was right in everything that he said. He's perfect. He is the Son of God. But he left that conversation. They just wanted to be done with him. As he walks by, he could have did whatever he wanted, but he saw. This is what I love about him. Even after a moment of just like, that just happened. Did that just happen? Most of us would go back, "Oh, man." No, Jesus sees an opportunity. And Jesus seizes the opportunity. Oh, how many times have we seen opportunity just go right by us? Oh. Thank the Lord for another shot. Second and third and 10 chances. But Jesus, he takes the opportunity and he goes for it. I want to ask you a side question tonight. Do you believe that Jesus can, do you believe in Jesus and the miracles that he did? Do you believe that Jesus can still do miracles today? I think that's important for us to be able to answer that question. Because an opportunity time in your life may come where you're going to need a miracle. This man is blind. And there's a purpose for him. He doesn't know, but there's a purpose for him. God works in our lives to display his moving hand and his power. And Jesus is going to take that opportunity. The men he just left lost their opportunity. They refused to take the opportunity. They put themselves over Jesus. When we put ourselves over Jesus, we're in trouble. Jesus walks away from them. And then wasn't long that he finds an opportunity. Let me also, there's so many things in scriptures that just, the Holy Spirit just gives to you, even though you don't have those things written down. But I just want to remind you, you don't have to walk far to find someone who needs the light in their life. You don't have to walk far if you got the light of Jesus in you. You don't have to walk far and Jesus is going to give you an opportunity. But you got to be willing to do that. And Jesus is doing that. He moves in to verse 4. He says, "We must do the works of him who sent me." Now he's talking to his disciples here. "We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And Jesus is the light of the world. He will always be the light of the world. But I also want to remind you that his light needs to shine through us. Because he says in Matthew 5, "You are the light of the world." He tells the people in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a light and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on a stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So we are also called to be the light. But Jesus is telling them that I am the light and I need to do what I can do right now. We must learn how to serve in the moments that God's given to us. You see, we are like bookends. Or we have a start line and we have a finish line. You're here tonight, and if you've already started your race. And it's not just how you start, but it's also how you finish. And Jesus is seeing an individual that is blind. And he's going to do the Lord's work, the Father's work. Now, a miracle is getting ready to happen. While the Pharisees are grumbling because they're still talking about him. Pharisees don't have much to do all day except walk around and be the law police. That's why people didn't care for him. Let me tell you, Pharisees and Sadducees were not very cared. People didn't like him very much. They were kind of mean, bossy, and ruthless. But after he said these things, he spit on the ground. He's afraid. He made some mud from the saliva and spread the mud on his eyes. And go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he left, and he washed, and he came back seeing. His neighbors and those who formerly had seen him as a beggar said, isn't this the man who sat begging? Some said, he's the one. No, others said, no, he looks like him. And he kept saying, I'm the one. Therefore they asked him, then how were your eyes opened? And he answered, the man called Jesus made mud and spread it on my eyes and told me, go to Siloam and wash. So when I went and washed, I received my sight. Where is he? They asked. I don't know, he said. He's all up into this, what just happened. And so what we see is Jesus does his piece, but what Jesus does, he just doesn't give him his sight right there. There's a challenge even to there's a test of his faith. Go wash in the water. You see, a lot of us don't get what God wants us to because we won't do what he's told us to do. We just want Jesus to do something for us. Sometimes we got to do our part. Whatever that part is, it's whatever God's telling us to do. Now, think about it for a minute. You go and you go wash yourself in this pool. He's blind. He's bumping into everybody. Now, usually they know how many steps they're going, but I can imagine there's a little bumping going on because he's in a hurry now. If his sight is over there, you know he's going to get over there any way he can. He's not talking to anybody. If anybody, he's saying anything to anybody, he's get out of my way. I'm going to get mine today. Because I just talked to somebody that's going to tell me. This man is ready. He was born blind, never has seen. There's a difference than when somebody has an accident and can't see, and then all of a sudden they're able to see. And even with praying over it, people will claim God done it, but others will say, no, the doctor did it, or the medicine did it, or the surgery did it, or whatever it may be. But you can't claim this by any other way. This man's sight is restored. He gets to see a human being for the first time, what a person really looks like. They asked him, where is he? He's like, I don't know. You're asking a man where the world just opened up to him. He wouldn't know him if he saw him. God might give revelation to that somehow in his heart, in his mind, but he wouldn't know. It's kind of a silly question. Where is he? I don't know. But it's a test of his faith. And we have to learn to put our faith not just in words, but in action. We have to do what we're called to do. This is why we do what we do with our church. This is why we do what we do with our buildings. We do what God's called us to do. Even when we can't do it in our own power, we're still able to do that. A blind man now is able to see. The world is still spinning. The people are still doing their thing. Let me just tell you, sometimes God can walk right in the middle of a place and everyone can miss it. But I want to also tell you, whoever he is setting that appointment up with, and they do what they're supposed to do, and they believe in God, I'm telling you, they're going to have something to celebrate. This man has something to celebrate. The world now just got real big. Real big. People said, oh, aren't you that beggar? Oh, no, he looks like him. What does that tell you? People knew him. People were watching him. I wonder how many times some of them just walked by and just criticized him. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus saw that this man was blind, an opportunity to show the glory of God in his life. But he didn't just say, do you believe? He said, hey, I want you to go down to the water and wash yourself. And he comes back and he's ready to go. He's ready to go. So what happens is, Pharisees catch a hold of it because you know they're snooping. They're talking to him now about it. And he tells them. Then he says, get his parents. Go get his parents. They'll testify. Well, they didn't really want to testify because they said, well, he's over of age. You go ask him. Scripture tells us they didn't want to answer because they didn't want to lose their spot in the synagogue. Basically, be excommunicated, can't go to church anymore. They fear these people. They fear these Pharisees. And we're going to pick it up here in verse 24. This is the second time. Now they're going to pull him in a second time. And we're going to see kind of what happens here. Because they're upset because this happened on the Sabbath, Sabbath. It happened on Shabbat. It happened on Sunday. They can't get over that. There's several scriptures about that. So a second time they summoned the man, the man who had been blind and told him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. They wanted to give glory to God without giving any credit to Jesus. People are still doing that. I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. Well, let me tell you, that's not scripture. That's not God's plan. God says salvation comes through his son because he loves man, that he gave his only son. That we want salvation, we have to go through Jesus because his son died a horrible death, but for our salvation. But they want to separate God and Jesus. And he answered, whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I can see. Now this guy is very bold against the Pharisees. I don't know, but I know one thing. I was blind and now I can see. Here's what you know right now with this guy. You ain't going to shut him up. I wish we would be like that when Jesus does things in our lives. So that people can hear what Jesus is doing in your life. They asked him. You know, one thing when you see the Pharisees, they're always in a group. They're bullies. Now, there are some good Pharisees. There's some good Sadducees. But the majority of them, they're bullies. They like to do everything in a group. When they asked him, what did he do to you and how did he open your eyes? He says, I have already told you, he said, and you didn't listen. That's pretty bold. Why do you want to hear it again? You don't want to become his disciples too, do you? You just thought a can of gasoline was thrown on a fire. Because how do you like it when someone says, you're wrong? And they ridiculed him. Basically, they put the man down. You're the man's disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but this man, we don't know where he's from. The man responds, this is an amazing thing. The man told them, you don't know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. It is almost like God is speaking through this man. You don't even know where he's from. yet he's opened my eyes. Basically, he said, it's almost like God speaking to him saying, you don't even know the scriptures. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he listens to him. Throughout history, no one has ever heard of someone opening the eyes of a person born blind. Did you catch that? Never has that ever happened. This is a first miracle. This is a first of the type. If this man were not from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. You were born entirely in sin, they replied, and you are trying to teach us? Then they threw him out. What I want you to get out of this is, listen, some people will never believe your testimony. Some people will not believe your own personal salvation testimony. Others may believe your testimony, but they will not believe what God has done in your life. Even people who know Christ. Because they are made, because one, a jealousy. God's doing maybe awesome things in your life, but not so much in someone else's. You might want to look in the mirror if you feel like that. Also, sometimes people will not listen to your testimony. They will not believe it because they have strayed from God. And your testimony, God uses to pull them, to try to pull them back. But they push back. Your testimonies are powerful. This man has a testimony, and he was sharing it. And it wasn't just that he was sharing through it through words. He was sharing it through his eyes and through his life. So some people will not even believe the truth if it's in front of them. You can look in the book of Mark where a man had a shriveled hand. And the Pharisees were watching him. And Jesus healed the man right on the spot. And the scripture says they were so angry that they were ready to take him out and stone him. They went out to plot to kill him. They saw the miracle right in front of them, and they still didn't believe it, even when they seen it with their own eyes. There are people today that say, I would believe in God if he would just do something. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people that had saw God do something and still didn't believe. Even the rich man that is in agony asked if he can go back and tell, because he believed that if he could go back and tell his brothers not to come to this place. And scripture says, you're not doing it. They won't listen to Moses, and they won't listen to the patriarchs. They're not going to listen to you. And many times you see through scripture, Jesus keeps saying, you demand a sign, but no sign is going to be given to you, but these other ones will. The ones that the kind that you don't want, because those take faith. People want what God can do, but they don't want a relationship with God. They want the benefits of salvation, but they don't want to give up their life. Last night, there was a few of us at home. I think it was last night. We watched a video on my phone that we watched someone say, this is why I stopped coming to church. And spoke kind of intelligently, but he gave reasons why. It's after 3 years, you've already heard all the messages. After 3 years, you've given money to the institute. After 3 years, you've already heard the songs. You don't need to go to church anymore. Another one of his videos was, God should not be first in your life. But what disturbed me about all these little videos that I watched about this man is all the comments that were underneath. This is the man I've been wanting to hear from. This is why I quit church. This man gave me an opportunity. This is now I understand why and how I can quit church. This man is leading people away from God, thinking he's leading people to God. A Pharisee. Let me tell you, I'm strengthened every time I come to church. My attitude changes sometimes when I come in. I may not want to be here at times, just like you, but by the time I get through service or by the end, I am glad I'm here. I'm encouraged by you, and I hope you're encouraged by one another. And I'm strengthened, the church is strengthened when we assemble ourselves together. Let me remind you, darkness will never agree with light, and light will never agree with darkness. There was groups of people. This man was physically blind, yet there were people, so many, that were spiritually blind. This man used what he knew, just a little bit of spiritual light in his life. He just had to ignite it. He just had to flip the switch just a little bit to get a little light. All he had to do was just obey that one thing, go and wash, and he did. And then all the light shined out of his eyes, and he was able to see everything. And also, spiritually, he grew so fast like a tower in just moments when he was speaking very powerfully and strong before the Pharisees. When people were scared to speak, and he says, do you want to hear it again? You don't listen. We need to start sharing what Jesus has done in our life. How do we do that? Simple. Hey, how you doing? My name is Jimmy. How are you? How's life going for you today? Let me tell you a couple of things that's going on in my life. I've had the opportunity a couple times in the last couple of weeks to share the gospel. Each time, Satan has come in and messed it up. We had our car. Something happened to our car. I was down at the Kia place and getting the things in there. I sat in there for over 2 hours. This lady was in there for 2 hours. All she was doing getting oil change. And everybody left, and she's been in there. And I was on the phone. I was just like, I take every opportunity. If I'm got my car at the spot, I'm calling the phone. I got off, and I said, you've been hearing all my conversations, haven't you? She said, yeah. You got a lot going on. I said, yeah. I pastor at church. She goes, I heard the word pastor a couple of times. Yeah. I said, well, how's life going for you? She said, well, my brother is at it again, and he's into his addiction, and I'm not letting him see his niece, my daughter, and we're having some problems. He stole some things, and we're having some problems. And I used to go to church. I'm like, there I am. I'm going to go, and then what happens? We're getting close, and all of a sudden, hey, Mr. Satan, your car's done. And I was like, I'm just going to stay, but your car's done too. So it stopped. I couldn't. She was ready to go, and I was like, hey, I'm going to pray for your brother. Okay, thank you. And I said, if you ever get to Huntington, look for New Life Fellowship. That's all I said. Send him down there. We're going to have a men's place pretty soon. I was down here at this meal ministry tonight. I was hoping up to get the devotions going tonight. Nobody was coming in, so I went out and started talking to people. I was talking to somebody really good, and somebody else comes up and butts in. Whole conversation had to change. I had that other opportunity yesterday with another individual. Another opportunity, it just shot right out. You know what, though? I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it, because when you do that, you know the light is needs to keep piercing the darkness, because there are people that are out there blind, and they need to see. And they need to see the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man's life changed, not just physically, but spiritually. People kept asking him, what happened? There's this guy named Jesus. And that's how you start. Let me tell you what he did for me. I was blind, and now I see. What? I was an addict. But that's not me anymore. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I went through a horrible divorce, but let me tell you what Jesus, he restored joy in my life. I was looking to quit something. I was looking to walk out, but let me tell you what Jesus did in my life. There's a lot of people out there waiting to hear what Jesus did in your life. Start sharing what Jesus did in your life. And let me tell you, you don't have to be all the way to the finish line to start sharing it. Share what he's doing with you right now. If you say, let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life. I'm 6 weeks sober. Some people go like, oh yeah, you're going to fail. You're going to relapse. You know what? You can just say this. Yeah, but I didn't yesterday. And I'm not going to today. And God willing, I'm going to be with Jesus tomorrow. And we're going to go for another victory tomorrow. And we're going to work on that sober tomorrow. But I want to tell you, he's changed my life. I was looking at prison, but I'm not there. I'm just telling you, we got to start sharing the gospel. The war has started. It started Sunday. When we ask God to knock the walls down, we're going to ask it again tonight. Wim's Lifehouse had a meltdown. We know that. Somebody threw a brick and busted out somebody's car window in the church parking lot. Let me tell you, that was going to cost, that car wasn't even worth fixing. They threw a brick in the front, didn't break it, but it just cracked it all the way across. And I don't know if anybody's seen it, but I've seen it. Somebody took a rock and just walked right down the side of that car. That car is done. Satan trying to defeat us, trying to dim the light. We got to turn the light up. Amen? Now, I can't turn your light up. I can tell you how, but I can't do it for you. But I'm going to pray for you that your light starts turning up. I want you to pray for me that my light starts turning up. So when we come in here on Wednesday night for testimony, we're going to start sharing some of those things. We can still share about the ailments and the hurts and pains with other people in our family. We need to keep doing that. But I want to hear, church, I want you to know I've tried to share the gospel with somebody and it's becoming a battle, but pray for me. Pray for this person. Somebody else can say, hey, you know what? I led someone to Jesus. Let me tell you, if we're not about that, then we need to close up shop and go to another church. Seriously. But I think we're about that. Amen? Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. But Lord, in this moment, we're getting ready to pray and sing a song here in just a moment. But we're going to take some time here, Lord, to let this blindness and this spiritual blindness and sink into our hearts tonight. May your Spirit speak to us in a way that only you can. There's something totally off topic, but your Spirit knows how to work. May we just be as this blind man was. May we just be obedient. And we'll see you work. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's